Well, this morning we're going to be in Luke 16. If you want to go ahead and begin turning that way, if you didn't already know, Pastor Donald and Jim Crouch left on Tuesday, and for the next 11 days, or well, for 11 days since Tuesday, whatever day that is, I think Friday they'll be back. But they're with about a dozen other pastors from Texas in both London and Dublin, Ireland, meeting with potential church planting partnerships that churches in Texas could come alongside churches in England and Ireland to do ministry. And so we want to pray for Jim and Donald as they are as they're across the pond. They were both sick before they left, and so also pray that they got healthy and are able to enjoy their time together. And then we want to pray that God would develop very intentional and beneficial partnerships where we can see the gospel go to a very post-Christian and dark culture in those countries. I believe there were some pastors from other countries in Europe as well that met with them today. And so just praying that God would do and continue to do ministry through our partnership with the SBTC as well as with these Southern Baptist church planters across the globe. And so because of that, I'm here today. And last week, I didn't know I was going to be here. This week, I did. And so I've got a little bit more time to prepare for the message this morning. Brendan, I originally planned to do some sort of you're graduating and now what? But Pastor Donald asked me to preach on stewardship. And that doesn't have a lot to do with graduation, although the principles of stewardship are great for you as you begin adulthood. To be honest, having been here now going on 3 years, I'm actually glad that this is the first time he's asked me to talk on stewardship. But nonetheless, today we're going to talk about stewardship. If you'll remember, in January, Pastor Donald introduced the Faith Forward Vision Plan, a 3-year plan for our church to become more effective in our mission to develop faithful followers who know Christ personally, grow with Christ continually, and go with Him missionally. And the priorities that he identified in the plan were not necessarily meant to grow us for our glory, but to make us more effective at reaching people for the Father's glory. And of the 5 priorities, the one that I get the privilege to talk to you about is priority number 5, stewardship. We summed it up this way in our documentation that we presented to you. Our goal is to strengthen the overall financial health of the church in order to support faithful ministry and long-term sustainability. We pursue this by encouraging biblical stewardship, providing practical financial discipleship, and creating clear and trustworthy systems for generosity through intentional teaching, improved giving practices, shared stories of generosity, and thoughtful planning for future facility needs. We will seek to steward God's resources with wisdom and integrity. And we've begun putting things in place to do this. As you heard in the announcement video this morning, our home groups this summer, the topic is stewardship. We will also spend the month of July in our Sunday school classes. Sunday school teachers, this is maybe news to you, but we're going to take a break from our curriculum that we normally walk through, and we're going to talk about stewardship and biblical stewardship in our small groups on Sunday mornings. Periodically, you'll hear messages from the pulpit about the importance of biblical stewardship. And the goal is not necessarily to make ourselves rich, although there are certainly things that we could do if we had more money. The goal is that we will honor God in all things, and as we honor God in our money and in our stewardship, that we would see growth happen in us, and ultimately we would see growth happen for the kingdom. And so my desire this morning is to be nothing more than a launching pad for the growth in stewardship that we expect to happen over the next 3 years. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 16. It's the parable of the dishonest manager. And so if you have your Bibles open or your smartphones or whatever you're following along with, that'll be great. If not, the verses will be on the screen behind me. But read with me as we read verses 1 through 13. And now he said to the disciples, there was a rich man who received an accusation that his manager was squandering his possessions. So he called the manager in and asked, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you can no longer be my manager. The manager said to him, then the manager said to himself, what will I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I'm removed from management, people will welcome me into their homes. So he summoned each one of the master's debtors. How much do you owe my master? He asked the first one. 100 measures of olive oil, he said. Take your invoice, he told him. Sit down quickly and write 50. Next he asked another, how much do you owe? 100 measures of wheat. Take your invoice, he told him, and write 80. The master praised the unrighteous manager because he acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. So if you've not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with what is genuine? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, since he will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for how you teach us practical things through your text. God, I pray that as we spend the next few minutes looking at this parable that Jesus taught, that you would help us to inspect our own lives. That you would help us answer the question, are we honoring you with all that we have? God, I pray that as we spend the next few minutes together, that my words would be your words, and that you would teach us as you see fit. We ask this in your name. Amen. So if we could sum up the message this morning in just one sentence, we could get to spaghetti quicker. But I have 25 minutes and 30 minutes, and I'm going to take it. If we could sum it up into one sentence, we could sum it up this way, that God entrusts us with resources, not for ownership, but for faithful, eternal stewardship. And I believe we see that five ways in this passage. And I'm going to try to go quick because five is a lot for me to talk through, but I'm going to do my best to get through all of these real quick. The first thing that I want us to see from this passage is that we are stewards, not owners. And so the passage this morning that we read is a parable that Jesus was using to teach the disciples. And there are two main characters in this parable. We see a rich man and we see his manager. And the story began with the accusation that the manager had squandered the rich man's possessions. In reality, the rich man had failed in two ways. He had failed to manage the rich man's possessions, and he had failed to manage his own reputation. You see, in verse 2, the rich man comes to the manager and says, what is this that I hear about you? The manager was known to the people to be a mismanager of the rich man's possessions. His screw up was that he forgot that the possessions that he managed were not his. They were just given to him to be managed by the rich man. And the crisis that the manager faced was when he had to answer how he had managed the master's possessions. The same is true for us. Everything that we have is on loan from God. We are often too guilty of holding on tightly to everything that we have, our time, our abilities, our relationships, and even our money. We think thoughts like, hey, God has given it to me, and I know how best to use it. But the truth of the matter is, our time, our abilities, and even our money are on loan from God. And we are just called to be stewards of the good gifts that God has bestowed upon us. Stewardship will only begin when ownership ends. And so at the beginning, very beginning of this parable, we're reminded or we're told that we are not owners. We are only stewards. And as we continue reading through, the second thing we see is that we should steward with urgency. If we return back to the story, the manager in verse 3, he asks himself, what will I do? We get a glimpse into his internal dialogue. Interestingly enough, he admits in verse 3 that he's not strong enough to do manual work. He says, I'm not strong enough to dig. And he likes his lifestyle way too much to be found on the street corners begging. I'm too proud to beg. The implication here is that not only had he mismanaged the owner's possessions, it's that he also used the master's wealth to indulge his own appetites. He had built a life for himself with someone else's money. Ultimately, for the manager, time was short. The rich man had called him to give an account of his management. And so the manager realized that he had to act decisively. He couldn't passively wait. And in verse 4, we get to continue our glimpse into his internal thinking when he gives us his goal. He says, I know what I'll do when I'm removed from management, so that when I'm removed from management, people will welcome me into his homes. He's decided that he's figured out a way to continue to live at other people's expense. He's made him a plan to protect himself, and he works quickly to carry out that plan. We don't like to admit it, but too often we live like we have plenty of time, especially when it comes to honoring God with our finances. We're guilty of thinking, I'll get serious about this later. Let me get everything else right, and then I'll honor God with my finances. What ends up happening is we end up borrowing what we can't pay back, spending what we don't have, and wondering why we have never enough. The manager here goes to the debtors of the master. He calls them in. The first one, he says, how much do you owe? He says, 100 measures of olive oil, 800 to 900 gallons of olive oil. Quickly, he says, to take your invoice and write 50. Again, we see that with measures of wheat, 100 measures of wheat. Take your invoice and write 80. In forgiving a portion of the debtor's debt, he had protected himself from the master, because now the debtors are in debt to him. He acted urgently to protect himself so that when the master called for the account, he would have a place to go. There's a time coming when we're all going to be held accountable for the stewardship, or for the possessions that God has allowed us to steward. God is going to expect us to have prioritized and steward with urgency those resources. What we do with what we have today shapes our eternity. Which leads us to the third thing that I think we see. We use our temporary resources for eternal impact. I've already mentioned, as we go back to the text, the manager went to the debtors, forgave some of their debt to the master in order for them to be in debt to him. These weren't just meaningless small debts. These were significant debts that he forgave. But in doing so, he guaranteed his own future. And in verse 8, we read an interesting verse. We see that the master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. It's almost like Jesus is saying, well done to your dishonesty. But Jesus wasn't praising his dishonesty. Instead, he was pointing out the shrewdness of the manager. And he explains it this way. People of the world are often more strategic about temporary things than God's people are about eternal things. The world knows how to pursue what it values. Do we? And then in verse 9, Jesus continues, and he says, use your worldly wealth, those temporary possessions and resources, to invest in what's eternal. Because here's the truth, money won't last forever. It won't last forever for you, and it won't last forever for me. Eventually, it will fail. Money was never meant to carry the weight of our trust. But what we do with the resources that God has given us can last forever. When we use what God has given us to serve His purposes, to advance the gospel, to impact lives, we're investing in something that outlives us. We're trading what is temporary for what is eternal. And so the call here isn't to become like the world, but it is to become intentional like the world, but with a completely different goal. Be urgent about eternity and show that urgency with the resources that God has entrusted you with. Jesus continues this story in verses 10 through 12, and I think we see two promises at the end of this text. The first promise that we see is that faithfulness in small things matters to God. Jesus says, whoever is faithful with very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is unrighteous in much. You can be wise and unfaithful. This was the manager's problem in the parable. He was both shrewd and crafty, but he wasn't faithful. Jesus ends the parable with the promise that faithfulness matters. And faithfulness is not about an amount of money, but it's about the heart behind how you use the resources that God has given you. We also see the contrast of character in these verses. And we see character is what separated a good manager from a bad one. A good manager is equally faithful with small matters as they are with large ones. When it comes to stewardship, when we fail to be a good steward with our time, with our talent, and with our money, it's like we've promised God that we will take care of His possessions and then not doing it. And there are consequences to this lack of faithfulness. Jesus says, if you can't be faithful with worldly wealth, then who's going to trust you with what is genuine? The reality is, faithfulness in stewardship is going to look different for each of us because God has entrusted each of us with different resources to stewardship. Today, faithfulness may mean that it looks like starting to give for the very first time. Giving of your time, giving of your talent, giving of your money. It could be that it's just that you've got to become consistent in your giving. And whether it's starting to give, becoming more consistent in giving, or giving in excess, rest assured that God sees and rewards your obedience. God is not measuring the size of your gift, but He's shaping your faith. Which leads us to the second promise, the last point I think we see in this text. Now, this is a verse that we most of us probably know. We use it a lot when we talk about stewardship. Jesus ends this passage, "No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And the last promise, second promise from the text, the last point of the message, is that your heart will follow your master. Money is not just a practical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And if we allow it, money becomes the thing that we place our trust in and where we find our security from. If we're not careful, it becomes the thing in which we relinquish control to. Yet money is a horrible master, because it can never deliver on its promises. The question for us when we think about stewardship, we think about honoring God with our resources, is who are we serving? Are we serving God or are we serving money? We can't be devoted to both. Devotion to one is hatred to the other. This morning, I would encourage you to remember that stewardship is an act of worship. And we declare our allegiance every time we make a financial decision. Being faithful to the Lord with our money, with our resources, is one of the clearest ways that we can say, God, I trust you. I don't know about y'all, but too often when I come to church and we talk about money, I leave here feeling a little beat down. I leave here thinking that the preacher was just trying to say that God's trying to take more of what I have. But this morning, what I hope that you see is that God is inviting you into the freedom that comes when we realize it's already His. He's just inviting us to trust Him and trust that He will provide and that His ways are better than ours. When it comes to stewardship this morning, I believe that there is a step of faithfulness that we all must take. Maybe for you it's that You need to rearrange your financial priorities. And you need to put God first, and you need to begin to start giving to Him what is His before you give anyone else what is theirs. Maybe you already give, but you've got more that you can do, and you know that God wants you to give out of your generosity. Faithful stewardship is not about how much. Faithful stewardship is, are you trusting Him? Are you trusting that He can do more with the resources that He has given you to steward than you can do on your own? Whatever it is when it comes to money, we want to help. If there are practical things that we can do, if you want to honor God with your money more but you don't know how, we would be happy to talk to you. And we have resources through different financial people, like I'll pick on Joel because he was going to preach for me if I got sick like Donald did last week. But you know, Joel is a wonderfully wise financial man in our church that can help you. I'm happy to talk to you about it. Maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you don't think you need to give God more. Well, I'd love to talk to you about that too. We all have more that we can give. The reality is, in a room this size, there's probably someone here who is not currently walking with Christ. You've never placed your faith in Christ, and you're wondering, why in the world did I come to church on today to hear about why Christian people need to give God money? Well, there's a spiritual principle for you, a stewardship principle for you today as well. God is the owner of it all, you included. And He wants nothing more than a relationship with you. So if you don't know Christ, I would love to tell you about Jesus, who came and lived a life that we couldn't live and died a death that we couldn't die, so that He could raise again and defeat death in a way that we can't defeat death, so that we can have eternity with the Father in heaven forever. And so in a few minutes, we're going to sing and we'll be down front. I'd love to talk to you about that. If there are other decisions that you need to make, if you know you've not been honoring God with the resources that He's given you and you just want someone to pray with you, we'll be down front. But whatever it is, I hope that you won't leave today without answering what it is that God is calling you to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank You for the good gifts that You've given us. Thank You for the fact that You bless us beyond what we deserve. God, I pray that each of us would look inside and see, are we being good stewards? Or when You call us to bring an account of what we have done, are we going to be like the dishonest manager that had misused the resources that You've given us? God, I pray that we would all be found faithful in how we have stewarded our resources. God, I also pray if there's someone here today that's never placed their faith in Christ, God, I pray that today that they would admit their need for a Savior, and they would commit to stewarding the rest of their life for You. God, whatever other decisions may need to be made this morning, God, I pray that we would come and do business with You as we sing together. We ask this in Your name. Amen.